Blog Talk Radio. There's a story about a white unionist in the South whose support for newly freed blacks angers his neighbors. They come over one night and basically tell him to shut up. When he refuses, they take him outside, tie him to a tree, and horsewhip him. And they tell him if they have to come back again, they're going to hang him from that same tree. But the man had nowhere to turn, because the South at this time was a place of lawless tyranny. The 14th Amendment was designed to stamp out that tyranny by requiring government officials to respect the basic civil rights of all Americans.
The period following the Civil War was marked by shocking abuses of individual rights and by a constitutional amendment, the 14th Amendment, designed to halt those abuses. The seeds of those events were contained in our founding documents, including the Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence was a promise of limited government based on individual rights and the ideals of the Enlightenment. And the story of the American Constitution, and especially the 14th Amendment, is really the story of our trying to live up to that promise.
Of course, the lofty ideals in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution cannot be reconciled with the abomination of slavery, the tacit approval of which set us on a path to disaster from day one.
The Constitution's failure to resolve the question of slavery gave rise to a furious national debate. Some people, like Senator John Calhoun, argued that the Constitution's references to slavery amounted to a tacit endorsement. Others, like the radical legal scholar Lysander Spooner, argued exactly the opposite, that the Constitution presumed all men were free, making slavery impossible.
So in public, there were two sides. The anti-slavery camp arguing that the Constitution presupposed that people were free and that this was totally irreconcilable with the idea of slavery. And you had the pro-slavery camp arguing almost exactly the opposite. Unfortunately, in the courts, the pro-slavery side won an almost unbroken series of victories.
For example, anti-slavery activists had argued that the Bill of Rights automatically bound the states. But the Supreme Court rejected that position in a case called Barron v. Baltimore, holding that the Bill of Rights only affected the federal government. Later on, in a case called Dred Scott v. Sanford, the court, in an opinion by Chief Justice Roger Taney, not only rejected the anti-slavery position that the Privileges and Immunities Clause in Article 4 protected individual rights, but actually went so far as to hold that the black man had no rights that, quote, the white man was bound to respect. Over the course of the debates about slavery in America, what you really see is a movement that started out as an anti-slavery movement really changed into a movement much more radical and much more broadly devoted to the protection of natural rights, ranging from free speech to the right to control one's own labor. Part of that is due to the influence of intellectuals like Lysander Spooner or Joel Tiffany, but part of that is just a reaction to the horrible abuses of natural rights that abolitionists saw in the pre-war South and immediately after the Civil War.
In the aftermath of the Civil War, newly freed blacks were systematically terrorized, disarmed, and even lynched for asserting their right to equality and individual liberty. The stories of violence perpetrated against newly freed blacks are truly horrifying.
For example, Robert Church, a black entrepreneur in Memphis, Tennessee, actually one of the first major black entrepreneurs anywhere in the Reconstruction South, owned a saloon and several other businesses around Memphis. He was wildly successful, he was beloved by the community, and in 1866, an angry mob of white people, largely led by members of the local police force, broke into his saloon, dragged him into the street, shot him, and left him for dead, all because he was in a business they thought a black man shouldn't be in.
By the time Congress convened in 1866, anti-slavery Republicans dominated both houses. Led by men like John Bingham in the House, along with Senators Charles Sumner and Jacob Howard, radical Republicans enjoyed complete control of Congress.
They have the power to amend the Constitution, and they are determined to use it. They were faced with an unending series of abuses in the Reconstruction South. State and local governments had responded to the new 13th Amendment ban on slavery by trying to deprive newly freed slaves and their white supporters of any meaningful freedom. especially economic freedom. Economic liberty, the right to pursue a livelihood of your own choosing and to keep the money you earn, was the opposite of slavery and the real opportunity for freed slaves to lead a free life. The pro-slavery forces knew this. So in the South, freed slaves weren't just banned from pursuing particular occupations, but in some places, it was actually illegal for Black people to leave their employer's property without written permission. In others, breaking a labor contract was punished by whipping. The 14th Amendment was supposed to stop rights violations like these.
One of the rights most frequently mentioned in connection with the 14th Amendment was the right to keep and bear arms. Congress was well aware of the fact that newly freed Blacks and white Union soldiers were being systematically disarmed throughout the South in order to subjugate and terrorize them. For example, Congress heard testimony about a town in Kentucky where the town marshal was, quote, very prompt to take arms away from all of the returning Black soldiers and to shoot them whenever the opportunity arose.
The 14th Amendment was proposed in response to this wholesale violation of civil rights, as embodied, for example, in the notorious Black Codes. The architect of the 14th Amendment, John Bingham, was a learned and well-respected lawyer from Ohio.
Bingham actually appears to have been one of the few members of Congress who understood that by virtue of the Supreme Court's decision in Barron v. Baltimore, the Bill of Rights did not apply directly against the states. In fact, Bingham had to bring a copy of Barron onto the floor of the House to prove that the Bill of Rights had no effect against the states.
John Bingham believed there was a hole in the original Constitution, which was that it didn't give the federal government the power to protect individual rights from interference by the states. The 14th Amendment was Bingham's effort to fix that.
The 14th Amendment protects three distinct interests: due process, equal protection, and the privileges or immunities, meaning rights, of United States citizens. Of those three, privileges or immunities are by far the most important, because that clause protects individual rights from government infringement. In 1872, the Supreme Court had its first opportunity to interpret the Privileges or Immunities Clause in a case called Slaughterhouse. Handed down in 1873, the Slaughterhouse cases essentially read the Privileges or Immunities Clause out of the 14th Amendment.
In the Slaughterhouse cases, Justice Samuel Miller, writing for a bare majority of the court, held that the Privileges or Immunities Clause protected only a limited and relatively trivial set.
You mean it's not politically correct, and yet everybody uses it? All right, so you know what? Give me a different term. Give me a different term. What else would you like to say? Oh, you want me to say that? Okay. I said, no, I'll use the word anchor baby. Excuse me. I'll use the word anchor baby.
So Donald Trump's not backing away from that controversy.
You mean it's not politically correct, and yet everybody uses it? So you know what? Give me a different term. Give me a different term. What else would you like to say? Oh, you want me to say?
Time to get on with our lives and kill and bury at sea the PC movement. Isn't it just an idiotic, contradictory, unhelpful, damnable theory? We have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. It's Mike.
What's up, man?
Hey, Kelly. You're right. You know, it's idiotic. You know, millions come legally to the United States. And, you know, calling like illegal aliens, okay? You call them illegal aliens, and some people say, well, that's wrong, you know? They're undocumented immigrants. You know, it's like calling a heroin dealer undocumented pharmacist. America was built on immigration. It's simple. You know, you just do it legally. If you come here legally, then we welcome you to America. It's not too hard to figure out, whatever you're called.
Well, how do you think we should deal with the law, Mike? And it would appear to many people that the law simply states, the 14th Amendment says that you're a citizen either by birth or naturalization. You become a birth citizen by simply being born here. So what right does anybody have to come along and change our sacred documents or interpret them differently than the court has been interpreting them?
They don't have a right. And I think that the reason the Democrats and Obama have been doing this, they've been doing this weighted voting for years. And that's the whole reason behind Obama's open borders. They want the votes. It's simple. It's not too hard to figure out what's going on.
Uh-huh.
You know, you take like Jeb Bush the other day. He said these anchor babies are primarily a Chinese problem.
Well,
they're not
You know, what's funny about that is, like, technically, supposedly, the number one group of people that are coming into America are Chinese as opposed to Mexicans. But are they coming here illegally? I mean, are they, like, getting voted over and, like, you know, like, getting off, like, you know, like, storming the beaches at Normandy or what?
It's like Trump said, China's killing us.
Well, anyway, I
we got to take the country back,
yeah.
Kelly. We got to make this a great country again.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for the call. A little break here. We've got Mike's input. We'll come back and deal with this a little bit more. I've got some great clips on this. What do you? Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. I just forgot to mention one thing.
Briefly. Mike, would you do me a favor? If you're calling in, could you get all your points to kind of together? Because it's easier to
okay.
Follow. Usually when I hang up on you, you're always shouting, I got one more, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Kelly. Most people don't realize that Trump's parents were immigrants and also his two wives, and they did it legally. It took them 11 years to become legal.
Yeah. I mean, I think the number one group of people that are not sympathetic to illegals are those people who went through the agonizing process of getting in. Now, many people around the world try to get into America. We're talking hundreds of millions of people trying to get into America, and they can't get through the system for whatever reason. And that put that against these hundreds or tens of millions of people that are just walking across the border demanding their rights. It's just absolutely crazy. Thanks for the call, Mike. All right, folks, let's take a little break here and we'll be back and finish her up. I've got a pretty good quote from, let me see. I'm having a little technical difficulty here, but we'll be right back. At 6:49 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and we'll be right back.
With marching bands heard through the land, we know that school is now at hand. Because there's music in my head, in school I'll make it with the band. To play the strings or beat the drums, because I'm creative and my music. I see a lot of music at the place, the music store with a food place. They got the best, they got the rest. Everything I need would be my guest. Easy rentals and friendly folks. They're sort of fast and have the most. They're off the go, look like a race. Can you see a Valley Music, the play to learn place, 919 North Valley Drive.
Attention golfers, support your NMSU men's basketball team by participating in the Marvin Menzies.
A specific question. I need a specific answer. We all know you want the world. But here's a scenario, okay? Illegal in Los Angeles. Two children who are...
So we have another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Tony.
Tony, what's up?
Hey, man. On this immigration issue, we've allowed the Democrats to, again, control the narrative. They use the little phrases as, oh, you're going to separate families. You're going to hold the children responsible for the actions of parents. You can't deport 11 million people. And those are all fine little issues, but things have got to change.
So what are we going to change?
And you know, why not get rid of the parents? Okay, fine, we won't deport the child since the child's a citizen, but the parents have to go.
Well, I think that we've got to do something along the lines of changing this law. It doesn't make any sense. It is contradictory to say that people who sneak into the country or walk across the border in broad daylight, nobody's there to stop them, who come in illegally and then do so for the purpose of having children here so that they're citizens, that they will, you know, that somebody who comes here and has a baby will illegally be rewarded with citizenship. That's a totally contradictory idea. And, I don't think that when they were putting this law together, the 14th Amendment, they were contemplating that. I don't think it was an issue. It's an issue now. Instead of pretending that the Constitution is perfect as is, let's change it.
Exactly. And the deal is, you know, it's funny how the Supreme Court changed the definition of marriage and how states have changed the definition of marriage.
Yeah.
But now we can't change the definition of illegal and legal immigrant. In fact, the Democrats have changed that. They don't separate legal from illegal.
Yeah, that's true. I got a clip to play, and I got some text to read, but thanks for the call. All right, here's your text, folks. Good show this morning. Thank you. Kelly, please convey my extreme disappointment to the radio station management. The Dave Ramsey Show has been demoted. I will. Definitely. Healthcare. Oh, I never thought our Constitution was a document to be molded and shaped to suit modern needs like abortion and gay marriage and a government-run healthcare. But now if we have to adapt it to our times, we should do it. And we are being colonized. Build the wall. Yeah, we are being colonized. So you're saying that Native Americans are savages and didn't deserve to exist, so this is not their country. Our founding fathers were all illegals. Okay. Kelly, what does it take so long to become a legal citizen? Sue, I think it's, I don't know. Let me get into that a little bit later. Hopefully after Hillary crashes and burns both, she and Bill will fade from memory like a bad social disease. You mean?
Immigration mess on the website DonaldJTrump.com. The presidential contender, his immigration plan. It contains a number of very controversial things that have caused much debate. Donald Trump rejoins us now from his headquarters in New York City. Now, I have a very specific question. I need a specific answer. We all know you want the wall. We all know you want Mexico to pay for it. We all know that. But here's a scenario, okay? Illegal immigrant mother and father living in Los Angeles. Two children who are American citizens, born here. If you're president, do you order authorities to take that family into custody?
We have no choice. I'm sorry, Bill. We have to bring them out. And if they're wonderful people, which I'm sure they will be, and we have so many wonderful people, we'll bring them back in an expedited fashion. But we are a land of laws. We have borders. You said it. They're illegal immigrants. They're not supposed to be here. Mexico won't take them. You know, Mexico is the toughest there is almost in the world in terms of getting people to come in. They can't come in. You can't become a citizen of Mexico. They laugh at us. They can't believe the stupidity of the United States.
But we have no choice.
And you'll bring them back if they've done a good job. We bring them back, Bill.
Okay.
If they've done a good job, we bring them back.
I got the theory, all right? Two American citizen kids, all right? You got two illegal alien parents. They're living in a house, a little house in the east side of Los Angeles. All of a sudden, ICE agents show up, all right, knock on the door and say, you have to come with us, put them in a van, bring them to a detention center. You're willing to do that?
Bill, I don't want to do it. I have a bigger heart than anybody running, but we have a country that's totally out of control. We have no laws anymore. We have no order. We don't even know how many people are in here illegally. We have to get a process started.
Isn't there a better way than that kind of a confrontation?
Bill, let me just tell you something. You're asking me about illegal immigration. If it weren't for me, this whole session, there's all of these people that you're interviewing every night, they wouldn't even be talking about illegal immigration.
It's a huge problem in this country. No doubt about it.
I took a lot of heat for it. And Bill, I took a lot of heat for it, especially the first 2 weeks. And now everybody said you had Kate, beautiful Kate, just killed by this person that's disgusting that came here five times and probably was pushed over the border five times. You have Jamil, you have so many, you have hundreds. The woman the other night, you remember, in Los Angeles, she was raped, sodomized, tortured, and killed, a veteran, 66-year-old woman, by an illegal immigrant. We have no choice.
Okay,
and by the way,
but I just think there might be a better way
to
do it.
Bill, I have to finish.
Wait, Bill, I have to finish. All right, go.
Faster, we have no choice. You know, the gangs that you're talking about in Baltimore and in Chicago and in Ferguson and all this stuff, you know, many of those gangs are illegal immigrants. These are tough dudes. They would be, if I'm elected, they're going to be out of there day one. We're going to get them the hell out of our country.
And I don't
mind
that.
They shouldn't be here in the first place.
It's the law-abiding people.
Call, you got 10 seconds, you got 5 seconds, go ahead. All right, thanks for the call. All right, you get your shot and you blow it. We'll talk after break on the hour. We got Walt Rubel coming in.
Always on Tuesday we have Walt Rubel, and so Walt, anyway, what is your reaction to this whole anchor baby?
And
do you accept when people say it's offensive, anchor baby is offensive? Is that an offensive term?
I think if it's used under the circumstances of somebody coming into the country intentionally for the only purpose to have the baby, so that the baby will be a citizen, and then you can then get benefits and derive other things from that. In that circumstance, I think it's accurate. If it's misapplied to people in different circumstances, then it could maybe be offensive. But no, if it's applied appropriately, I think let's not get too concerned about the phrase, and let's get concerned about the issue.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, let me push back on that a little bit, because we've talked about that a couple of times. If Donald Trump said what I think he said, Eric Erickson think he said, what Carly Fiorino thinks he said, what millions of people think he meant, if he meant what we thought he meant when he talked about blood coming out of whatever, is that over-the-top PC to point that out, or is that asking for some standard of common decency? Right, common decency. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, and Trump's immediate knee-jerk reaction was, that's just PC. Well, just because there is and I agree, there is, you know, out of control political correctness doesn't mean that anything goes and that no comment is offensive. Right. You know, my parents struggled with that a little bit, and they were good-hearted people, but they called black people Negroes when they were growing up, and they didn't mean to be offensive. That was just what they – so yeah, I get that. At the same time, though, I mean, I do think the word illegal, when you refer to somebody as an illegal, and that's it, I think that's offensive. I think. Because it is taking one condition, I mean, the fact that they are in the country illegally, and that's fair, and it is saying that is the sum and totality of that person. They are not a father, they're not a grandfather, they're not a coworker, they're not a church member, they're an illegal. I just think that's offensive, and I think it's unfair. Well, that gets tricky. I mean, certainly illegal alien is better, or illegal immigrant is better. Because you're at least applying the term illegal to the status, and you're not just saying he's an illegal. You know, what I refer to them when I'm writing, and this is clumsy, and I don't expect people to do this in conversation, is people who immigrated to the country illegally. It is. I mean, I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that they're more than that. That you can't use that one phrase and say, you know, if somebody crosses the street illegally, that they're not an illegal walker. That doesn't make them an illegal. I mean, they're a person.
Well, all right. We've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ted.
Hey, Ted, good morning.
How far are we going to carry this? Are we going to call a poacher a unlicensed hunter? Are we going to call a trespasser a unauthorized visitor?
No, because when you talk about poachers, you only talk about them in the context of poaching. You don't see a guy walking down the street who got convicted of poaching 10 years ago and say, oh, there's a poacher. Now, if that commonly happened, then yes, it would be an issue, but it's not.
Ted?
Well, when the illegal is walking down the street, we don't identify them as illegals.
Yes,
it's
you
just
do.
In
you
the
just
context
did.
Of their crossing.
Oh my goodness, you just did. Every time you talk about them, that's an illegal. You don't do that with any other class of people.
How else would you identify them if an illegal crossing is what you're talking about?
Oh, you lost me.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks, Ted. All right. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, so why do you, why give them more status? I mean, what's the point?
Why giving them the status of being human?
No. I mean, all the people you're talking about are humans. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. They are fathers. They're all of these things. We certainly in this community, we know that better than others. I mean, we live with these people every day. And so, you know, I just think that when you take all of that and you boil that down to the word illegal, how can that not be offensive? How can that not intentionally be offensive?
What if it's not offensive? Well, I mean, what if it's just considered from a status standpoint the most important thing about the person? Because we're talking about what to do with the problem of having what you want to call it, illegals or undocumented people or whatever.
Yeah, see, I'd never use that word.
What, undocumented?
Yeah. And I know others have, and I know others have insisted on it. And I think, you know, I disagree with them. I think they are here illegally. I'm not denying that. All I'm saying is that when you use the word illegal and that's it and nothing else, that's not fair.
But Walt, isn't it like arguing over how many angels can dance on the head of a pin?
Maybe.
Ultimately,
maybe.
We've got another call. Thanks for the call. All right. If you just called in, then call back. Sorry about that. But I can't always go to the phone calls. I wanted to hear what Walt was saying. But anyway, do you think, does it matter to you, does it offend you when you hear the term illegal?
A little bit. I mean, I hear it so often that,
No, I'm not asking you, I'm asking people.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. In general, does it offend you? And what is the better word? We've got another call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. It's Takashi here.
Hey, Takashi. Good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's up?
Hey, I wanted to kind of stray off topic for a second. and mention that Ashley Madison incident.
Yeah.
It's kind of appalling to me how the police are going after the hackers that exposed all these people that are supposedly in a matrimonial agreement. And these guys are senators and congressmen, even people from the Vatican, they said, are on this list. And it just kind of negates the whole idea of justice and law when these guys are defending a company that sets up people to do unscrupulous things. I don't understand that.
Are you saying that the people that are running the website were wrong or the hackers?
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, what the hackers did was technically wrong. But what I'm saying is, based on what the law is trying to enforce, they're trying to enforce the privacy of all these important people that were cheating on their wives and husbands. And it just comes across kind of, contrary to the law, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, what's contrary?
No, he's saying that he thinks the cops should, you know, let these guys, let the hackers have at them. Let's expose it. Let's let everybody have it, right?
All right, yeah. So exactly. Takashi, these hackers say, we've got all this information on Ashley Madison. If you keep the website up, we're going to publish it. Now they start publishing waves of information about people. And obviously this is going to cause breakups of families. It's going to cause divorces. There's a suicide that's associated. Do you blame the hackers or do you blame the owners of Ashley Madison?
It reminds me of a guy called Bud Dyer, Kelly. It's the same thing. Maybe a lot of these guys should go through what Bud Dyer had to go through so we could weed out this Congress and this Senate and get back to work.
Who's Bud Dyer?
You know, the Secret Service, they're over there in Colombia getting freaky with the girls. You know, all these guys need to be exposed.
Who is Bud Dyer?
Bud Dyer was a Republican who committed suicide after they put him on charges for fraud and bribery and all that stuff.
You're not saying you want other people to be in that same situation.
No, I'm saying maybe the reason why they think it's dangerous to expose these guys is because it might end up like Bud Dyer. Is why a lot of these guys can't take the heat. You know, they're willing to commit the crime, but when it comes down to it, they can't take the pressure.
He killed himself on live TV, right?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty radical. All right, thanks for the call, Takashi.
It's pretty radical.
To say the least. All right, so what do you think on Ashley Madison? Would you blame the website?
Well,
the hackers have all this information.
You know, the website is it is the modern-day version of, you know, what used to be in the 70s, the little trader papers that they had. There have always been ways for people to make a little bit of money helping people hook up. So this is the modern, the bigger issue to me is hacking. And, you know, that's probably worth the whole show over because that really is a bigger concern than just exposing people who were cheating on their wives.
Okay. But I mean, do you, I'm
curious in this,
Oh, the hackers, of course. Well, of course. I mean, what Ashley Madison was doing was legal, and you know, I don't have a problem with it. Well, of course I would. Of course I would. But like I said, you can't stop it. People are going to do what they want to do. Right. So the question is, should that be illegal? Is, I guess, what you're asking.
Well,
oh, if you want to condemn it, I think that's fine. But if you're asking me what's worse, that or hacking into it, I mean, that's a crime. Well, the same duty that Target had and that all these other companies have had. Blue Cross Blue Shield, I mean, yeah.
Don't
that wouldn't protect them. I mean, the horse is out of the barn. Oh, is that right? Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
At some point, we're going to get into the topic of Nathan. Please don't call me Tiny Small. And thanks for calling the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's me again. Real quick.
Briefly.
Joe Biden's son had an Ashley Madison account. What do you think of that?
I think he's dead.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you. All right, Mike.
All right, 7:22, we've got Walt Rubel here, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 523-1450. We do have a text line, 805-6180. All right, and Walt, I'm going to play a little clip here that I had played earlier. I think it's the same one. Donald Trump, I'll keep saying acre, baby.
Are you aware of the term anger baby? That's an offensive term. People find that.
You mean it's not politically correct and yet everybody uses it? So you know what? Give me a different term. Give me a different term. What else would you like to say?
The American born child is undocumented.
You want me to say that? Okay. I'll use the word anger baby. Excuse me. I'll use the word anger baby. So,
well, that's what I was saying before. I mean, that's what I write when I write newspaper stories, but I don't expect, you know, people in casual conversation.
Yes,
some euphemisms. So give me an example. Well, are we aided by euphemisms? I'm not sure how to answer that.
All right. So instead of saying, in this case, you're opposed to illegal, saying undocumented, what do they say? Undocumented?
Well, as I said, illegal immigrant, to me, I'm okay with that. I'm opposed to just the word illegal, period. So is that too much to ask? Well, I'm not saying it should be. You should get locked up for it. I'm saying that, you know, I don't like it. I have a right not to like it. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. So if you were the king,
yeah. Well, if I'm king, does that mean I get to ignore the Constitution?
Yeah.
Well, then I'd get rid of it. I would get rid of the provision in the Constitution that allows that. Yes. I don't know. As I hope I've made clear before, I don't speak for everybody on the left. I'm here telling you what I think. Yeah. I don't know. That's a very good question. And, there are a lot of those folks I just disagree with.
I wonder what percentage of the people that live in this town are illegal.
Thank you. I don't know. 10? Maybe that's too high.
I do have a phone call, but
I'd say maybe 10% in the county. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but yeah.
It's all right. The people in Little Haiti.
I'm sorry for not getting this point out the first time I called.
Hello,
but,
who's this? Who's this? Hello.
Yes.
Ted. Oh, hey, thanks for calling back. Please continue on with your points.
Okay, I just wanted to. I'm sure the indigenous people of this land could say the same thing.
This is Takashi, not Ted, but thank you for calling. All right, so the indigenous people have a right to call people who live here illegals.
Yes, I would say.
And what about the people that they kicked out?
That who kicked out? Who precisely?
Did you know that there wasn't just one?
Indigenous tribe,
yeah,
inhabiting America?
Not only, well, not one tribe, but one tribe usurped another tribe in their land. The idea that we came in and removed this monolithic group of people.
Well, we did.
Well, not there were tribes taking the land from other
tribes. Understand
that,
but that was a more symmetrical battle. That was, I come riding in with my warriors and we kill a couple of yours and we take a few ponies and you... And yes, over periods of time, they did move them into other areas. But that's not the same thing as coming rolling in with howitzers and Gatling guns. That made it an asymmetrical battle.
If we had come in with just arrows, would you accept if we finally took it
over? No, I'm not saying we shouldn't have used the weapon we had. I'm just saying that it was an asymmetrical battle. To compare it to what was happening before is apples and oranges, I think.
Another thing I want to throw in before I go, Kelly,
yeah,
and the
Takashi,
people,
they're
anti-democracy.
Hey, listen, Takashi, I can barely hear you. You sound like you're speaking underwater.
Okay, one second.
Don't put us on speakerphone, whatever you do.
Another thing I wanted to add it to, Kelly, was the fact that the natives had democracy. All tribes from all over the U.S. met somewhere in Illinois or one of those states every year. To decide on different issues. So you know how they make it look like the Indians were primitive and they beat drums and shoot arrows? They had a system. All that stuff was already here before a government got established.
All right, cite your sources for the democracy of the American Native tribes.
Actually, I found that out from a documentary I recently seen, and they were talking about this lake that was covered by...